a tailspin, a woo. Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
And I'm Nolan.
And I'm Kenny.
That was a really great Kenny impression.
Did you think that he was here for a second?
For a second, I'm a little spooked.
Kenny's not with us today.
Sad.
Sad day. If you don't want to listen to this episode, I completely understand. A Kenny-less episode is, as we always say,
A terrible episode.
That's the saying.
That's all I can think of.
What about like a Kenny-less episode is a penniless episode?
I don't like that.
Kenny's with family today, so it is just going to be a Dustin Nolan-sode. So sit back, relax. This is episode 174, and it's been memed all throughout the week because people are incredibly excited, and I think I am too. Still trying to process all of the feelings here. No, I am.
Okay.
But... and I hope I'm the first one to tell you, Nolan.
Probably, or I'm behind these days.
Halo,
okay.
The Master Chief Collection, is coming to the PC for the very first time, Nolan.
So servers?
Fans will finally be able to play all six Halo games on their Steam account, not even like a separate Microsoft Windows type thing.
That's humongous.
Halo 1, 2, 3, ODST, Reach, and 4.
Dang! And on and dedicated servers, I'm assuming, from
dedicated
someone.
Dedicated Wham.
Dedicated Wham along with dedicated Wham. Servers?
Dude. They're like they're bringing it back. Do you think this will be a true revival for the series?
Revival? No. That collection has existed for a while now, and I don't think that putting it on PC is going to revive it, but I think for a lot of people, including myself, I don't care about Halo and don't think about it often, but that just hyped me up a little bit. So they'll sell.
Here's the thing. I don't care about Halo in the state that it is today. I'm sure it's great. I'm not a first person shooter. Halo 1 and 2 had my heart back in the day. But I promise you, if like it becomes a thing where there's servers and people are playing again, I will get into Halo 2 if you want me to.
I mean, we did for a little bit, but there's cheaters. So we could potentially play Halo 2 with no hackers.
No hackers.
That's kind of
none
cool,
of,
actually.
None of the like lag problems of the past when we were trying to like carry on. Like you and I were some of the last players of Halo 2 on those
I
servers.
Know. It was like the Dark Ages. But dude, I'd be down to play Halo 2 with you.
Oh heck yeah! So I'll not jump in it like straight away. I'll see if it's what I know in my heart that it has the potential to be. I'm super excited because then that means that I could go back and with friends, maybe that I even played with in college.
Yeah,
including so Kenny and I, we played some Halo 2 together in college,
right.
And then you and I got to play afterwards. If I was able to play with you and Kenny, I don't know. Right now, you and I do not have a multiplayer competitive game to play together, really, and we haven't been playing video games together for months now.
That's sad, actually.
I would log on to some Halo 2. I would do any of the Halos and play with
you. Well,
let
me ask
you
this, Dustin.
Ask me.
What is the price of this Master Chief Collection? Because that's going to be important.
Sure.
Is it 60?
And I don't know. I don't know if they've even put out the price yet. I would imagine it's comparable to what... Because the Master Chief Collection came out on consoles. Or
a while back, right?
Xbox. Yeah, a year or two.
I'm going to say 40.
I don't know.
I bet it's 40
years ago.
Yeah, no, $40.
$40. Oh yeah, this is six games,
quality games
that sold originally for more than $40. I don't know. I think that's I would think that would be totally doable. I just another thing that I love is that it's just straight in the Steam store. They're not trying to pull any kind of crazy thing. It's just right there. So,
love that. Love.
I don't know. I'm super excited. Hold on, I'm about to sneeze. Blue.
Stop. Just Gesundheit.
Blue.
Yeah. Okay.
Like in our retro game of the week, Tailspin.
Overview.
It's like a chew.
Well, yeah, I see.
Blue!
I thought I was legit about to make some goofy noise because I thought this was off air. Tail spin. I don't know if that's part of the song.
That's probably
It's a show.
It's like tail spin.
Oh, is it really?
No, I think that's Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
Oh, well, I'm getting them mixed up because they're Disney and similar. So,
a tailspin, a woo!
Legit, you could just cross any of those theme songs and it'd probably fit. Tailspin was a show, a cartoon, in the 90s. 80s, too? Right? Here's the thing. I didn't watch it.
At least early 90s.
I was very young and I saw reruns, but I need to get something embarrassing out of the way first, Dustin. Is this a spinoff, a tail spinoff of Baloo from The Jungle Book?
Yeah, there's the thing. So I knew of the show, never watched it, but I never made the connection that it is a Jungle Book spinoff.
I didn't either because it's completely random.
But like, not like, I'm not sure we ever needed a Jungle Book spinoff,
no.
Much less a Jungle Book spinoff of this caliber. Like, look at what this game is, or this game, the show is about.
Kenny watched it. He told us this was a big deal, and he said it in his first play. Like, he watched the show, and it was close to his heart. So, whatever. It's a spinoff of the Jungle Book for whatever reason, and it's Baloo, the bear, Mowgli's friend.
Yeah.
But he's a pilot now and he is in a plane flying a plane.
Not just any plane.
The
talking about
sea duck?
The sea duck.
Because that makes sense. So a Disney show, right? That's what this game is. So it's based off the show Tailspin. It came out in 91 for the NES. It was also ported to the Game Boy in 92. But this is another developed and published by Capcom game.
We've done a few of those. DuckTales, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, and I believe even Disney's Aladdin. I know that
was
doesn't
that
kind of fall in line. I believe so. At least one of those. You know, how we played like Sega and the Nintendo version? Mm-hmm. One of those is Capcom Disney.
Wow. So they must have had some kind of partnership going.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, something.
Because that's all within the same couple of years.
Sure. Well, we got Tailspin from Capcom, and basically, the gist of the game, you play as Baloo, the pilot, and sometimes, what's his friend's name? Kit?
Kit.
Okay, yeah, so Baloo is the main character of this game.
What is Kit?
Another bear? Like a cub?
But did you see him in the game?
Well, yeah, but I think that was the developer's or the art designer's fault,
I couldn't tell what it was.
I really Googled the characters, and I think he's just a little cub.
Okay, but that's not what he looks like in this game.
We'll get to that. So you pilot the Sea Duck. That is the name of the plane that Baloo flies in Tailspin, apparently. And you are given missions from Rebecca Cunningham, who's another bear. And you...
with nice hair. She's got a nice, nice kind of wig going on.
Yeah, I feel like they spent a lot more time designing Rebecca Cunningham than the main characters. And you are shooting. It's a scrolling shooter. That's the genre of the game. Mm-hmm. Why are you...
I said it was an affirmative, but tentatively.
Yeah, and probably not in the sense... maybe not in the sense you would think of a scrolling shooter, but you're shooting peas, think Mega Man, at planes and enemies, and you're going through this scrolling... it's not a platformer, a scrolling screen. It's a scrolling shooter. And so you are carrying out these missions from just flying over the ocean, delivering cargo to a baseball stadium. And
all so that's one of them, a baseball stadium. Another is like a snowy mountain top. I mean, you got to go through the jungle, all of different terrains, but
raining.
That's just so they can give you raining tacos. That's just so that they can give you different stages.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you're in your cargo plane, that Sea Duck, a modified Conwig L-16 seaplane, by the way.
Wow.
You didn't look up the, you didn't look up and type at the make of the plane.
I'm not a plane guru. I don't care about planes.
And delivering packages while you're defending your the cargo from all of is it Shere Khan's enemies?
Yeah, or so Shere Khan, that's where I made the connection. I was like, okay, Baloo, I know that name and it's a bear, but that's probably a coincidence. Baloo. And then Shere Khan, I was like, wait, hold on. So it's Shere Khan hires the air pirates and their leader's name is Don Carnegie.
It's probably Carnegie Carnage. Hall. Carnage.
It's Carnegie.
Okay.
And is it? Oh, duh, it's Carnage.
No, dude. Please just stay with Carnegie.
Don Carnegie Hall. And that's the plot. It's very simple. These games back on the NES did not have deep plot. Even though it was based on a show, I think they just assumed you knew about the show and the characters, and then they just gave you a game.
Gameplay.
All right, in Tailspin, I believe you got 8 different stages, 8 different courses, and you're predominantly scrolling left to right as you're fighting various ridiculous enemies. I mean, none of them make sense. Nolan mentioned in the overview section that you're at a baseball stadium at one point. I mean, you've got these little creatures throwing baseballs at you, and
not to mention the boss of that stage.
Was it just a baseball?
It's a baseball.
Like large a baseball. Baseball. Maybe it makes sense in the context of the show.
I don't know.
I hope not. But neither of us have watched the show, obviously. But at the end of each of these 8 stages, you're defeating a boss. And then in between the stages, you are able to spend any kind of money, currency that you obtained while flying through the stages to upgrade the sea duck or to get an extra life or an extra continue. You use your currency your points as currency to be able to purchase those upgrades. But the most interesting mechanic here, the thing that makes it a very different kind of scrolling shooter than most, there's probably a few things here, but the main thing is the flip upside down mechanic.
Yes. So most scrolling shooters, if not all of them, make you go from left to right, or if it's like from bottom to top of the screen, depending on how it's scrolling. This upside down mechanic, so you can go left and backtrack. The screen will go back from where you came. So if you miss something, you can go back and look and see and maybe even grab the thing you missed, which is actually a really big deal.
You don't just turn the ship around to go back to the left. You straight up flip upside down.
Right, because that's what pilots do when they need to go left. They go upside down.
Where the big bear is just hanging out above the open ground below him or the sea below him.
He's wearing a seatbelt.
Piloting a plane upside down, which, again, that's physics. And it changes the direction of the screen scroll. And so on most stages, to be able to allow you to enjoy this mechanic, you don't only scroll to the left and the right, and then if you flip upside down the right or the left, you scroll up and down as well. Yeah. And so and in doing that, the idea would be that you can flip upside down to take out enemies behind you, and then you can flip right side up to take out enemies in front of you.
I kind of like that, if we're being honest. Like, I like the fact that it's unique.
I actually love that you said that, because at first it threw me off because it's so unfamiliar.
Yeah.
And oh, sure. it takes some getting used to, but at the end of the game, I sat back and I was like, okay, so at least one of the good qualities of Tailspin is that they tried to enter this in. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't work with, that's not gravity. That's not any of those things. But you're not going to flip upside down in an airplane and then go vertical up and down. Up and down.
Okay, that's true.
But that was one of the things that I did enjoy. It's hard to master, and we can talk about some of the like specifics with that mechanic handling right there. But once you're able to start getting a hold of it, it's actually really interesting, because at first, on the first stage, without mastering it, you're going to miss a lot of the money, right? A lot of the things. But once you have masterful control over that upside down mechanic, as the screen stops panning to the right and begins panning to the left, you've got a window of opportunity there where you're able to get the money that you either just missed or that's kind of in a tight spot that you wouldn't be able to get in a normal flyby.
Right.
And I don't know, it just added a whole nother level that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. And not only for like missed items or the money bags, like it kind of helped manipulate some of the enemies so that you could kill them easier, because they're hard to dodge in this game for a couple reasons, but I did find that like going backwards sometimes helped me deal with some of the enemies. And I guess while we're on that topic, the physics, it's not even the word here. This is a classic NES game and it looks and feels that way. And your handling kind of suffers because of that. And the hitbox on the enemies is unfair. I'll just go ahead and say it's unfair because it doesn't make sense visually a lot of the time. And if you watched, Kenny did a first play this week. He's not with us today, but he did do a first play that was actually really entertaining because he had a lot of trouble with that specifically and found it hard to put into words what was wrong with it.
He had trouble with a lot on that first play. Yeah. Go to our YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/newgameplus podcast. And he's bad at
he's
this.
Bad.
He didn't finish the first stage and he would do the same mistakes over and over again. But you're yeah. giving him some grace here. You're saying so like the hitbox on Baloo and his ship?
That along with enemies too.
Like, so you're just talking about hitboxes in general?
In general, I think the collision, the way that they handled like, okay, your bullets, their bullets are hitting you, is just, it felt very old NES, like the problems that console and some yeah. of the games faced at that time. So I will give Kenny grace on that, but he should have used save states. Honestly, like this game's pretty difficult.
And he probably did later in the week if he was able to continue playing. But in your first play, you're just trying to get that rough first go at it. Yeah. That didn't bother me near as much as you're starting one projectile option. Like you only are right. able at the very beginning of the game to have one bullet on the screen at a time.
Yes.
And you have to wait until that bullet either clears the screen or hits an enemy to be able to fire your next bullet. And
yeah.
That makes it near impossible to do anything, especially when there's multiple enemies. And not only are there enemies, there's these little flying boxes around the screen. And if you break those with the bullet, then mm-hmm. you're able to collect what's inside. Sometimes it's fruit, which is some more points or money. Sometimes it's a heart to be able to get some of your life back, which is very nice that you don't. It's not just a one hit kill. You do have kind of three or four hearts. Mm-hmm. But with that limited ability at the very beginning of the game, only having one bullet on the screen at a time makes it near impossible and so frustrating.
Yeah, the bullet thing. So no doubt the reason that that's the case, it was a hardware limitation, because we all know in these old games, especially on NES, if you had a lot of pixels on the screen at one time, you faced frame drops. Like,
and you get it here too.
Drastic frame drops. And it still happened here. So at first I was like, okay, console limitations. But then, I mean, as you said, in between stages, you can upgrade your pea shooter. And right. so you get rapid fire and a super rapid fire later when you can afford it.
I love quote unquote rapid fire means that you upgraded two bullets on screen at a time. And
better
then,
than one.
And then you said super rapid fire or whatever they call it in the game. You do eventually get up to three, which feels a lot better, obviously, yeah. than one. Maybe even three times better than one.
Ooh.
But
math.
But it's slow in coming, and that is nice. I think it was maybe somewhat limitation, but giving you the three bullets later in the game, they wanted to have somewhat of an upgrade system. And so...
Sure.
And that's another yeah. thing that I really liked. We both kind of enjoyed the upside down mechanic. I also really like being able to spend currency and upgrade yeah. things. I've always enjoyed that. And you're limited here, right? You can get, you can upgrade your armor, which that gives you one extra heart. So instead of three hits, you can take four.
You can buy continues.
You can buy continues and you can buy an extra mini duck. Mm-hmm. So those are two separate things. You can, as we've already mentioned, upgrade your pea shooter from 1 to 2 to 3, and then you can upgrade your speed.
Is that the engine one? I didn't buy that one.
That was the engine one.
Okay. Makes sense.
I don't know if I felt it necessarily. I mean, I don't want to go any faster in a lot of these stages,
yeah.
but yeah, at least you've got the option.
Right. And I actually really love that too, because it's unique for a shooter. Most scrolling shooters, you kill enemies and it's somewhat random, or some games have it scripted where they drop the upgrades, the gun upgrades, maybe they reset at right. the end of the stage and you do it again the next one, or you keep them. I like the currency system. I was not expecting something like that in this game, and it kind of helped me plan out how I wanted to go. So I looked through them on my first playthrough and I was kind of confused at like 4 out of 6 of them. And I was like, okay, rapid fire, I definitely want that. And then from there, I kind of looked up what each one did, and it got kind of fun being like, ooh, okay, so after this next stage, if I can make it through this next one, I'll get the armor or whatever.
Right, because
so
you don't have to spend any money. You can save it.
Sure.
And then you can get, you know, a better item after the next stage.
Now, that also means that you need to be getting these crate, these whatever they're loot boxes, not loot boxes, they're chests and money bags for not just points, but that's your currency. And so I like that it placed precedence on not just trying to get through the level without dying, which was hard enough, but you also need to be collecting stuff. So I really like that actually.
All right, a couple of the things that I didn't like.
Okay, hit me.
So although I ended up enjoying the upside down mechanic, I didn't enjoy it at first because sometimes it would work and sometimes it wouldn't. Were you able to discover kind of what, like, in this, we also didn't even say, because this is super unique for a shooter as well. You've got diagonal shooting in this game.
Yeah, yeah.
Your plane not only shoots to the left or the right, but it can shoot in the down right, upright, down left, and up left, because you can flip upside down, which I think there's going to be a divided audience here. I don't think that worked, but when you were in a diagonal position, you could not flip upside down. And because you're having to move up and down quite often to avoid enemies or bullets, you're in that diagonal position, and that makes it to where you can't flip back the right side. So there were countless of deaths in my game because I was trying to flip upside down and I was unable to.
I mean, I had countless deaths too, but I don't know
for
if
many
I
reasons.
Place it on that specifically. I know what you're talking about. The controls get wonky when you're upside down like that. Like, is it inverted? Like, it's kind of hard to describe.
I mean, it might feel like it, but
it does
up
like
is
it.
Still up towards the top of the screen, although it's...
But in my mind, though, I think I was inverting it, and I was like, wait, that's not what I want. Gotcha. Anyways, it was wonky, but I thought the diagonal shooting was actually really nice.
You thought it worked. Like, interesting.
Yeah,
because you don't get that in most shooters, and I think there's a reason for it. I'm not sure, and I felt that. I mean, there's a reason. You don't have to try to think, and I'm sure you'd be able to prove me wrong with at least one game, but I'm just trying to think. Most of your scrolling shooters don't have that diagonal. If you are from the bottom going up, you can only shoot straight up. If you are going left to right, you can only shoot right in front of you. The scrolling shooters that we played so far, I don't believe any of those have
probably
a diagonal shooting.
Probably not.
Except Tusman.
And here I really appreciated it specifically for the boss fights. Every stage has a final boss to it, which is a nice touch and kind of expected, I suppose, with an NES game even. But it's the type of boss fight where this is a really common thing back then where they have a weak spot.
Yeah, like one spot that is like a red diamond on them or something.
Yes. And some of them aren't obvious. I was actually watching you stream this week, Dustin. You were like, where do I hit this machine one? Because it was like a little mole thing driving this giant machine. And you had to shoot the window, and it was really hard to hit. So if I didn't have that diagonal shooting in that boss fight, they messed up big time. So I kind of like the boss fights too. I thought there was a nice variety there.
I thought there was enough variety, but they're all, in my mind, they were all the same in the sense that they're
just dodging.
Yeah, it's dodging their attacks and then shooting the weakness. And I mean, I guess what else are you going
to
do?
Yeah, right.
And they do have different designs, different patterns. Once you figure out the patterns, it's that kind of setup. Once you figure out the patterns, you know the boss. But I what I do like is that some of them require you, or it's really helpful for you to use the upside down mechanic. That's one of the things I think they did really well in this game, encouraging you to use that upside down mechanic.
Yeah. So you mentioned, I think you mentioned, you said you have a couple issues with the game. Is there anything else?
Yeah, so I mentioned too there the difficulties with the upside down mechanic of like trying to get back and forth between those. Yeah. The diagonal shooting, I don't think that worked too well. And then I guess just the third one would be the difficulty of this game. Like I without save states this week or a rewind function, this is incredibly rage inducing of a game and completely unforgiving. Yeah. That's not true. It's you've got continues and you can purchase your additional mini ducks, but for the modern gamer and for the kind of standard gamer, I don't think this game is it's beatable, but for the majority of people they're going to rage quit long before they beat this game.
Well, let me hit you with something I think about that.
Okay.
It's hard, for sure. Uh-huh. It's definitely hard, but fair and balanced.
Fair and balanced,
yes,
really.
Yes, because of the continues. So, okay, you have three hits before you're completely kaput. Usually it's one shot, and that's why I hate scrolling shooter games, usually. So you have health, so that's nice. You can continue. You have three continues, and you can purchase continues, and can purchase another heart.
And in the stages, you can collect hearts and get
exactly. So, yeah. So I really think it's a balanced difficulty.
Maybe it's very difficult, old video game difficult, but it does provide some assistance in some of those areas. Another thing that is nice, but I hate, are the bonus stages. Please tell me you at least found one.
The balloon ones?
Yes.
Yeah, they're pretty lame.
You can get one ups and you can get mini ducks there, which is super nice.
Right. So in those mini stages, whatever bonus stages, Kit gets dropped out of the sea duck and skates. He's skateboarding?
This is what I wrote down. Okay. Bonus stages with a tiny bear bird surfing on a silver croissant collecting bear balloons.
Bear bird? Okay, so that's your design flaw. Okay.
Oh, no, that thing, I had no idea it was a bear until someone told me when I was streaming. It looks like this little humanoid bird. It looks terrible. And he's surfing on a silver croissant.
It is kind of curved, right? Like, I was like, okay, it's a skateboard, but it looks like a bug.
I have no idea. It's got to be some kind of air device, right? Because he's got to be in the air with Baloo. But it's floppy. You're going around trying to collect these balloons. Inside of each of the balloons are fruits. And it gives you extra money, extra points. But it also helps you with one-ups and with your seed ducks. And you find these hidden bonus stages. They're like doors on various like pixels of the standard stages.
And you have to shoot them.
You have to shoot that empty space. And then it opens a door. The nice thing is if you scroll past it, just turn around and go back and you'll find it again.
Dude, okay, so after listening to your description, I'm going back and looking at it. It looks like a monkey in a hat on a croissant. You're right.
That's a croissant for sure.
It's like a pulsing croissant or some sort of like caterpillar in its shell or something.
Pulsing croissant would be a really good name for a rock band.
Oh yeah, I called it.
Aged.
So this is an old show, so old that, I mean, you didn't know about it, right?
No, I definitely knew about it.
Okay,
I knew about all of those. I don't know if I watched Darkwing Duck.
Right.
And then a little bit of DuckTales probably, but I never watched this show.
I feel like it was a niche cartoon to begin with, let's be fair. And Kenny was all about it, so it makes sense that it went under your radar and probably everyone else's. But it's an old cartoon. I don't relate, or it doesn't resonate with me. I have no connection to the show. So I feel like I can take this game for what it is. And I think it aged pretty well. For an NES game, for a scrolling shooter, I'm on board. And I'll tell you why. One major, major reason for me, the graphics.
Yeah.
Did you like them?
Yeah, I thought Okay. All of these Disney Capcom graphics were good and were cute. I think what Dude, helps here. Well, I mean, we can say that. I thought Kit was one of the worst things I've ever seen in a video game.
Okay.
But again, it's a bonus thing. With the cutscenes, they're animated at least to some degree. And by cutscenes, I mean cutscenes. It's when the girl talks to you in between each stages. Yeah. Like, that looks really, really good. The plane and the stages, the backgrounds look remarkably good.
That haunted
good.
Mansion, though?
Why is there got to be a haunted mansion in every single one of these
video
games?
I love haunted mansions, especially when it looks like it did in this game.
Well, you and everyone else, but the for 91, yeah, I thought the graphics were really good for 91 NES. I thought the music was good too, but I have a problem now because I'm comparing it to some of these other Capcom Disney games. And I thought the music was good, I thought the music was unremarkable, and I don't remember any of the tracks, and nor do I really care to go and listen to any of the tracks.
Same. I'm with you too. Like, probably the most forgettable part about the game, and I'm usually a music guy and I actually put a lot of weight on that, whether a game's good or not. And it was my least favorite part. I'm with Kenny. He said in his first play that it's like really annoying after a while. And it is, especially if you're bad and using save states and having to try something a million times.
Super repetitive.
It really starts to get to you. So the music, I'm pretty meh on too, but those graphics really blew me away, dude. I'm a fan.
Graphics did well, music did decent, but kind of annoying. Handling, I think, is where, for the gamer today going back and playing it, where you're going to feel the most frustration. That's okay. What you saw most frustrating Kenny in his first play. That was... With these games, you've got to kind of just revert back to what handling was like during that time. And if you're able to do that, you can get good at this game. I beat the game. I was able to...
Me too.
And, by the end of the week, there's only 8 stages, relatively short game. Yeah. But it's all about gaining mastery of those mechanics, of that completely foreign upside down mechanic. And that will take some time. You've got to have the patience to be able to go through, to die multiple times and until you start getting a hang of that mechanic. But I think that's the one that probably ages the most, not because it's bad, although I've already kind of communicated some of the things that I thought they could have done better with that mechanic, but just because it's so foreign and so different, I think it's going to take some time for the modern gamer.
That's fair, because I mean we both face that, and I still feel really like negatively towards the hurt boxes, hitbox mechanics, and all that. And I absolutely think that some people would be too frustrated, but if you can get back in a swing of like, okay, modern games have taught me that I need to be really aggressive and shoot and stuff, but here it's like dodge and collect. And then, yeah, shoot, but it's all patterns. Like, if you can, it's trial and error, and I like my games that way. I like harder games that make you, that you have to learn, and it teaches you through either dying or whatever. So I feel like it was fair. It was challenging, but it was very fair in the way that they handled like progression, continues, stuff like that.
If you do want to play this game today, it's actually really easy to get a hold of. I didn't even recognize until some of the people in Discord were talking about it this week, but in 2017, Disney Capcom released the Disney Afternoon Collection, which is a compilation of 6 different games. And so it includes DuckTales, DuckTales 2,
Ooh.
Darkwing Duck, Chip and Dale Rescue Ranger, Chip and Dale Rescue Ranger 2, and the game that we just played, Tailspin. And
that's a good deal.
Oh yeah, that's out, and it's out for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, so you could easily play it today. And some people think it's a hack or whatever, or cheat, but I think it's brilliant and needed, especially for a game like this, and I think it is the premier way to play this game today. Those games on this Disney Afternoon Collection have a rewind function.
Oh, yeah. That is nice, actually.
Oh, yeah. So you're able to... So you're about to make a mistake, or you just made a mistake, you're able to rewind a couple of seconds to be able to correct your mistake. So it's a modern day save state, and I think that makes that will make this game more enjoyable, not less.
Yeah, for sure.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game of the week receives our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. Typically requires two-thirds of the vote to swing one way or another. We've determined that it does need majority vote, so when it comes down to two of us, it's going to take both of us agreeing for it to get our pass.
Drama.
Nolan, yeah, I'm rolling out the red carpet for you. Start us.
I will gladly start this one. I give this game New Game Plus for a couple reasons. One, it feels like quality Capcom. Feels like love was put into it. Doesn't feel rushed. It feels like they really took their time to make a good game. Now, this is based on a show, a Disney show, and most of the time I do not care for games based on other pieces of media, pop culture, whatever. But here, I didn't know the show and have no connection to the show and was able to just play the game for what it was. And it's a video game, and it's a good one. I think that the graphics are very impressive. I loved the variety of the stages. They all looked unique. Each one had a unique boss. Yeah, similar mechanic, find the weak spot, but like they had their own unique attacks at least. And so it made it interesting. I think it was forgiving with the continues. It surprised me. I thought this was going to suck, especially after I got to it a little later in the week than I think most people in Discord, and the consensus was kind of negative at first. I love the game, and I gave it New Game Plus, but I'm worried what you think.
I always prefer when we have all three of us here for many reasons, but especially for this one, because it helps to provide some balance. Because if I simply disagree with you to a small degree, then it goes my way.
I know. In this. Yeah.
So I don't love our setup here, but I don't know a better way to do it. I think that there are a lot of good qualities with these Disney Capcom games. They always produce quality, but they're not always games that must be played. In fact, we didn't really like Chip and Dale. We didn't give it our vote for New Game Plus status. I'm not sure where the three of us as individuals landed, but then we love DuckTales, you know? So I think with all of these, there's some quality, some love and attention put into it. I started this week and was not enjoying the game, was more frustrated than enjoying the title. By the end of the week, I was enjoying it, and I saw its merit and its quality. Like I said, I beat the game, so for me to actually spend enough time to beat the game, that means something. I think they missed it on some of the like far-reaching mechanics they were going for here, but in the end, I think they added some things to a side-scrolling shooting genre that worked here and was fun, although, man, this game, in my opinion, is so, so difficult. But it is charming, it looks good, sounds good, plays fairly well, and with the upside-down mechanic, I'll flip this one on its head, whatever that means, and I, too, will give it my vote for New Game Plus status, which means Tailspin is New Game Plus certified.
A woo-woo!
I wonder what Kenny would have said. He would have said no, right? He would have never got good at this game.
Oh, dude, based on the first play, he'd be done. He'd be mad at us, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we'll have to ask him on next episode. He'll, of course, be with us next week. But what are your thoughts? We had a few people write in. Dave wrote in and said, these are always the best NES games. Chip and Dale, Little Samson, Little Nemo, Bucky O'Hare, Darkwing Duck. I don't know.
Excuse me.
The flying stages should only have been one part, not the entire game. Also, most of the other Capcom Disney titles were known for being easy but fun. This one is just frustratingly difficult. Watch the show instead.
Wow. So wait, I'm wondering what Dave's suggestion would be on, instead of flying every stage, what you should do on the other stages.
Well, here's the thing. Platform? Again, I think we've made it clear. We haven't watched the show. I wonder if there's a lot of platforming type episodes of the show.
They could have done singing with Mowgli.
You know, is Mowgli, does he guest star in the show?
I doubt it. No way.
It's probably a prequel, flying the planes before he meets Mowgli in the jungle. Ace Matrix Zero wrote in as well. He said, this game is ridiculous. Sluggish controls. Once you fire, your shot either has to clear the screen or hit an enemy before you can shoot again. Ridiculous flying mechanics. He's supposed to be in a plane, not a helicopter, but yet he can fly vertically down a waterfall and upside down to boot.
Yeah.
If there had been some sort of rapid fire, sadly no power-ups that I encountered, then it would have been one redeeming quality. In my opinion, no new game plus.
So Ace didn't make it past the first level.
Oh, no. I think here, this is what I would say for anyone playing the game. Your priority and upgrades, your very first thing needs to be to upgrade to that rapid fire.
You have to.
Because if you're just rolling with that 1P mechanic, that's going to be rough. I wonder if there's a speedrun category of this game where it's just
no upgrades.
That 1P shooter the whole time. Yeah, no upgrades.
That'd be great.
Thank you guys for sending in your thoughts. You can always send in your commentary on the Retro Game of the Week. Many ways to do that in our Discord commentary channel, through our email at ngppodcast@gmail.com, or you can go to our new website, which is just ngppodcast.com, and there's a contact form there. Send in your thoughts. We'd love to include it as a part of our show each and every week.
Boom.
But for now, we're putting Tailspin to the side, and we're going to randomly select our next retro game of the week. What game are we going to be playing for the next 7 days? There are right at 1,000 games in our Retro Master list.
Dang.
You can find a link to that list on our website or on any of our social media. And if there's a game in there that or a game that you know that is 15 years old or older that you would like for us to play and it's not on that list, send it in. We'll be sure to add it. And then it will be in our randomizer to be picked. But for now, we're going to randomly select out of that list, and we're going to find out what game deserves our attention next. Spinning the randomizer now.
Tailspin it.
Woo!
Old? Okay.
Arcade?
Yeah.
Platform?
I like.
Jinborov Karnovsky.
Wait, hold on.
That's the character's name.
Sure.
He is the most ridiculous, muscular, bald.
Okay. Insane.
He looks like the Juggernaut from X-Men, but without a helmet and armor. He looks absolutely ridiculous.
That's a bad look.
He's appeared in many different games, but he first appeared here in this 1987 platforming game. Again, it's the game featuring Jinborov Karnovsky, or Karnov for short. The game of the week is Karnov.
Are you sure it's not Carnegie?
Not again.
Karnov? That's
Karnov.
The name? Okay.
A bulging, muscled, fire-breathing East Russian ex-circus strongman hero.
Okay, the circus makes a little more sense, but that's absolutely ludicrous.
This is going to be wonderful. Please find a copy of Karnov and play it along with us this week.
Do yourself a favor and join us in Discord as well. Our community is growing every day at this point, and it's really cool to interact with all of our listeners. So go to our website, ngppodcast.com, and click on Join Our Discord. It's free to you. While you're there, check out our new website. We're really proud of it. Hookshot did a great job, and there's some cool stuff to check out on there. T-shirts, all kinds of stuff. So go to ngppodcast.com.
We also want to thank our patrons. Each and every month, there are a select group of our listeners that support us financially. It can be as little as $1, as much as $10 million every single month that our patrons are able to support the show. And all of that money just goes back into making a better product for you guys, more consistent product for you guys. I hope that you've been noticing it, but in these last 3 months of this year, we've kind of gone into overdrive and we're loving it. T-shirts, website. Now we've got Twitch banners again.
YouTube.
We've got a team that's helping us with these things. Tom with editing the episodes, Hookshot with producing some of the visual content that you're seeing. Maxima that's been helping us with our social media. All of these guys have been helping us make NGP a better, more well-rounded, more well-known product. And so we thank you. But we also thank our patrons, those of you that go above and beyond to support the show, especially our producers. That's our top level Patreon supporters. That is Zion, Alex, Dear Baby Bill, and Michael. We are forever grateful for you, as well as two new patrons this week. Uh-oh. We want to welcome Jacob and Dodge to the team. Thank Jacob you guys for your support.
Dodge. Yeah, thanks.
As always, you can follow us on our social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch at NGP Podcast. You can follow us on our YouTube channel for weekly video content, New Game Plus Podcast, our Twitch as well, NGP Podcast. I already said that. Also on our Twitch at NGP Podcast. And on Twitch, and just stuck in a loop. This is bad. Listen to us directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Karnov. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm feeling sassy today. And I'm Nolan.
And this has been New Game Plus.